Hello, and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly Christ-centered program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing here in our city. Your host is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel for over 26 years. He's also the founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. We now go live to the sanctuary of Calvary Chapel as Pastor Dave shares with us here on God in Our City.
You love me. It's amazing. Who am I? Who am I that you are mindful of? That you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love.
Singing. How many of you were singing your best today? How many of you need to confess to God you've been telling stories? All right. You may be seated. As you're getting seated, how many of you have like a go-to person? When you have to have something, you got to get something done, you have a go-to person. Anyone like that today? You got a go-to person, okay? Wow. You go to mom. Absolutely. Absolutely. No, her name is not ATM. Her name is mom. Exactly. I got a witness to that. Well, you know, we are very, very blessed at Calvary Chapel to have a relationship with West Shore Little League. And as I was thinking about Friend Day, I thought, you know, we really ought to do something special for West Shore Little League. But our relationship with West Shore Little League really revolves around one person. He has been a go-to person for us with reference to almost anything. He even went with us to Cuba. So Chuck Dantillo, come on up here. Come on up from West Shore Little League. You hear him, you hear us mention Chuck. And Chuck, this award isn't really for West Shore Little League, it's for you. We call it the Calvary Chapel Neighborhood Heroes Award. It's hereby presented to Charles Chuck Dantillo for 25 plus years of meritorious service to our community through the West Shore Little League, with our heartfelt thanks for your friendship, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you so very, very much. Chuck, we just happen to have a $50 gift card for you and your wife to the cheesecake place over there in Jersey. We hope it'll be a blessing to you. Thank you so much for all you do for us. You're a tremendous blessing. Amen. Thank you. Chuck. Wonderful. Now, hey, who wants to play a little Name That Tune? So, let me see. It seems like I've got a lot of guests right in this area here. Is that true? A lot of friends right here? All the friends, stand up. Stand up with the person who brought you. And this is how we're going to play the game today. Where's my wife? My wife, Debbie, is going to come. She's going to help me with this. She is the final say. Just like in our house, whatever says goes. Here, whatever she says goes. All right? So we're going to play a song. And what you have to do is shout out the name of the song. Don't whisper the name of the song. Don't raise your hand. Just shout it out. And right now, you're playing for a $10 gift card to Subway. That means you and a friend could actually go to Subway, share a drink, and it'll work for you. Okay, you guys ready? All right, ready? Take it away, Jay. It's time to name that tune. Let's go to another song. We're live on the radio. You don't know that one. Okay. Well, say it again. Say it. White Boy. Yes. Congratulations. You and your friend win. Sorry. Sit down. Losers. All right. Do we have friends in this group? We actually have friends in this group right here. Right back here. Some friends. Some folks. Look at that. All right. You can play. That's your sister, right? And your mom? Oh, come on. Stand up. Stand up. Play. Play. We're good. Just stand up. Stand up. You guys can help too. It's a $10 gift card. This is huge. This is huge. Take it away, Jay. Another song. I can get no satisfaction. Good job. Excellent. Excellent. We're live on the radio. We only have so much time. All right, Jay, this is going to be number six. Jay, this is number six. All right, this group right here, there's friends here. All stand up, stand up. Stand up, all the friends here. Wow. Now, remember, you look right at my wife and shout the song. Shout the song. Are you ready? Number six, take it away. Let it be. All right. Wow. Let it be. All right. This group right here. You guys are last. This group here. Yeah, come on. So you're going to shout out the song, right? What are you going to do? Shout out the song. All right. Deb, you got him. Take it away, Jay. Whatever you want to play. My girl. Oh. Way down there. Go ahead and get her a card. Good job. Put Andre singing. All right. Final group. This is your last chance to get into our grand prize drawing. Please, don't be shy. Shout it out if you know it. All right. Are you ready? This is huge. You could win a $10 card. It's all on this. Have you ever won anything before in your life? Yeah, all right, so sit down. We don't care. All right. Take it away, Jay.
That wasn't the
Wow, on two notes? What was the name of the song?
Disqualified, Pastor.
What was the name of the song?
Thinking. Pick it out loud.
Wow, handing back that gift card. Now, I need all of our winners to come forward, and we're going to be up here for the grand prize. All the winners, hurry, hurry, hurry. You could win a $25 gift card today. Audience, turn around, face the audience. My wife's decision is final on this. Anyone give her a $20 bill? All right. Shout it out when you know it. Take it away. Billie Jean, congratulations! Let's give it up for all of our contestants today on Calvary Chapel's Name That Tune. Oh my goodness, I got Michael Jackson songs going. Oh man. All right. Jay and the team are going to lead us in a few more songs, and then we're going to have our message for today on friendship. Are you having fun yet?
Break my heart, Lord. save us today, Lord. These past desperate times, we need a friend that'll be there for us all the time. Amen. In the good times, but more in the bad times. In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs. Greater than the songs we sing. In our weakness and temptation, we believe. We believe. Let's all stand. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for all the gifts that you give to us. Thank you for the gift of friendship and that we can celebrate it today. Please help, Lord, in our moments together for us to really understand friendship from your perspective. Lord, we would pray right now for our city. Specifically, Lord, we would pray for the family of police officer Tuzolo, who lost his life this week. Pray for the recovery of the other officer. We pray you'll wrap your arms around that family, God, in this moment of need. Lord, we're all in need. We need your help. We need your strength. We need your presence. Lord, we just need you. And thank you that you're there for us. And may we, Lord, today understand what it means to have a life-giving, eternal life friendship sort of thing with you. And Lord, we just pray your help in our time together now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So today is about friendship. Woo! Yeah, don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. Does anyone know what the twirling item here is in the middle of this? It is the Chinese symbol for friendship. People intertwined, because friendship is people intertwined. It's, you know, it's messy sometimes, right? But it's people intertwined. But before we go any further, though, perhaps you're wondering, do you really have friends? Well, we want to just share with you the top 10 ways, signs that you don't have any friends. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Jared? Reason number 10. All your saved phone numbers start with 1-800. Reason number 9. You're still drinking from the same wine bottle you bought on New Year's Eve in 1987. Number 8. James Taylor sings the first few bars of You've Got a Friend, notices you in the audience, and stops. Number 7. Having a Super Bowl party means dressing up your dogs and tying them to the furniture. Number 6. At your funeral, the entire eulogy is, yep, they're dead. Number 5. Your nickname is Bill D, and you're the mayor of a major city. Number 4. You are one of the 5 best solitaire players in the world. Number 3. You send birthday cards to the cast of Friends. Number 2, you stand in front of the red box and say out loud to yourself, well, what do you want to watch tonight? And the number one way to know you don't have any friends, all your Facebook photos are selfies of just you. Thank you so much, Jared, for doing that. Friendships are very, very important. Bing Crosby and Bob Hope were supposedly notoriously good friends, and one time Crosby said, there's nothing in the world I wouldn't do for Bob Hope, and there's nothing he wouldn't do for me. We spend our lives doing nothing for each other. In high school, my best friend was Dave Smith, but we just called him Smitty. In this picture, Dave is on the far left. I'm in the middle. He blocked for me so I could score a touchdown. On the right is another friend of ours, Carl Seeger. But Dave was probably the best friend I ever had in high school. He would hitchhike from his house, which was about 25 minutes from my house. He would hitchhike so we could eat my mother's bread pudding and stay overnight and compare notes. We played football together. And I told him I might use him in the sermon today. He said, go gentle, my friend, go gentle. We both probably have too many stories about each other. Here's Dave and his family now, Smitty and Gene and their grandkids. They have a great family, still active in the community in Western Massachusetts. But he was a great friend. Having great friends is important. Having great friends is important. Everybody wants to be in the place where everybody knows your name. We want friends. Friendship with someone is a foundational relationship. If you have your bulletin, your note, there's a little set of notes in there you can follow along if you want. It's not crucial that you do, but it may help you. But a friendship with someone is a foundational relationship. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must show himself what? Friendly. Friendships are so important, we need to take the initiative and get friends. Even stick people need friends. Even fake stick people need friends. Do you have friends? Do you realize how important it is to have them? Here's Watson's paraphrase of that verse. To get text, you must send texts. If you're sitting around waiting for someone to talk to you, the way to get, you know, nobody knows me, nobody cares about me, the way to stop that is go ahead and you take the initiative. If you want friends, you must show yourself friendly. Thomas Aquinas, the great Catholic writer, wrote this: friendship is the source of the greatest pleasures, and without friends, even the most agreeable pursuits become tedious. Friendships are foundational for just about everything we do. Here's the truth. I need others. Others need me. Establish friendships by being friendly. The closest relationship most of us will ever have is the relationship of marriage. And who's the person you should marry? Probably your best friend. You know, I had the privilege of doing that. Whoa, who are those young people? Wow. Ah, that's better. But that doesn't always work for everybody, but it has worked for us for nearly, 35 years and God willing, going on. But friendships are the foundation of marriage. Friendships are how we get things done. Friendships are foundational. But then friendships also, a friendship with someone can be a fulfilling relationship. It can really do something for us internally and eternally. Because a friend will stick by us. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at how many times? All times. And a brother is born for adversity. How many of you know that sometimes your friends are closer to you than your family? And sometimes your family is just absolutely annoyed with you and your friends are still there. We need to recognize that we need people who will stick by us even when we're not all that we should be. Every one of us has a dark side because we're all sinners. This is just a local gathering of Sinners Anonymous. My name's Dave. Exactly. That's who we are. Nobody's perfect. So I need someone to love me, not because I'm a great guy, though surely I am, but love me in spite of myself, in spite of the times that I'm not who I ought to be. A small boy defined a friend as someone who knows all about you and likes you just the same. A real friend, Walter Winchell said, is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. And then friendships are fulfilling because a friend will sharpen us. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profane are the kisses of an enemy. If you've got people in your life who only tell you how great you are, you have a bunch of fake people in your life. What you really need in your life is someone who says, you're good, but you got some stuff we need to chip off. I can still remember probably one of the more painful moments in my life, missing a tackle that almost cost us a game in football. And my good friend Smitty, who was a linebacker, coming over to me and saying, David, you have to make that play. Ouch. But I needed those wounds. I needed him to say that to me. So I got someone else to do that assignment the next play, and I didn't worry about it. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. What happens in friendships is we benefit each other. We help each other. You know, it's amazing in marriage how that men and women are kind of opposite in some ways. Anybody know that? But why does God create two different people, put them together in a marriage? So they can sharpen each other. There's going to be friction when they're sharpening. There's going to be sparks when they're sharpening. But it's necessary. It's what we need. And then because a friend will speak with us. A friend will counsel with us. A friend will listen to us. And then a friend will give us advice. Proverbs 27:9 says, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. We need people that we can talk to, people who aren't going to tell somebody else what we said. We need people we can talk to who will give us honest, unbiased truth in our life. That's what a friend is, and that's how we make a friendship fulfilling. Be a friend who sticks like glue when the world is falling apart. You and I probably know somebody who's going through a hard time. We may have used to have been their friend. They need us to be their friend more than ever right now. Be a friend who corrects, and choose friends who will correct you.
Make sure you have people in your life who will say, you're stupid today. Let's all practice saying it together now. You're stupid today. Or at least, you all did that very well. This is not your first time saying that, is it? And be a friend who gives and receives counsel. Even if it's only over the fence in the yard, be that kind of a friend. But a friendship with someone can be a frustrating relationship. Does anyone have a friend who's frustrating? Did you bring that friend with you today? No, that's a horrible thing. Friendships can be frustrating because of what we can learn. Everything I'm sharing with you today is from the book of Proverbs. I share it to you from the book of Proverbs because Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It tells us how to live wisely. And this is what it says. It says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. What's the danger of having a friend who blows up all the time? You get their habits. The more you hang with them, the more you get their habits. I try really hard not to cuss. I do, really hard. This year, we're hoping to eliminate cussing completely. You think, you know, finally, we'll get it out of our life completely. I find, though, if I hang around, or even if I watch TV programs with a ton of cussing, or if I hang around the cuss champions, what happens? When I hit my thumb with the hammer, I don't say, gosh. Why? Because some of that is learned when you're with people. If you hang around angry people, guess what? The anger rubs off, and you're going to react angrily. And then because of where it can lead, frustrating, not just because what you can learn, but where it can lead. Listen, it says, one who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor. But the way of the wicked leads them where? Astray. When our friends don't share our values, and there's more of them than us, or they hold to their views more than we hold to our views, the result is they push us their way. In the book of 1 Corinthians, it says, good or bad morals corrupt good company. It's an amazing verse. Why doesn't it happen the other way? I don't know. Why don't good morals corrupt bad people? I don't know why. It happens that when you're with someone who has the wrong values, it messes you up. It messes you up. We learn from Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes what? Wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. It's very important that you have some wise friends. Why? Because you can't soar with the eagles if you insist on only hanging with the turkeys. You must find people whom are wise, wiser than you. You know what a smart person does? They find people who are smarter than them, and then they pick their brain. They spend time with them. They learn from them. That's the smart thing to do. I had the privilege not too many months ago of playing golf with two of the top two TV or radio executives in New York City, Phil Boyce and Jerry Crawley. They have forgotten more about radio than I will ever know. So when I played golf with them, you know what I did? I shut my mouth. I listened. Why? They know much more than me. We need people in our lives who know much more than us so that we can glean from them. They have an expertise that we don't have, and we need to glean from them. If you're struggling with a problem in your life, the best person to help you with that problem is someone who's gone through that problem. So what do? You find someone who's gone through that problem. Now watch this. This is the hard part. You listen. You ask their advice, and then you get your butt out of the way. You know what I'm saying? Because we always say, yes, but. We don't need to see your butt. Keep your butt to yourself. Listen. Listen. Here's the truth. Choose your friends very carefully. Flee friends who might pull you down and get objective opinions. Get wise people in your life. Get wise people in your life. George Washington said it this way. Associate yourself with men of good quality if you esteem your own reputation. For 'tis better to be alone than in bad company. You say, Pastor Dave, if I get rid of all the rotten friends in my life, I won't have any friends. Okay? Start over. Get moving from the other direction. Surely don't forsake those who need you. But surely, you know, just because you've made a mistake for years and years, don't keep hanging on to him. But I will have wasted so much time if I ditch this person now. No, you're already wasting time. Ditch them when? Now. A friendship with someone also can be a fragile relationship. Friendships can be broken, and it's painful. Now, I will say as a guy, I think that men hold on to friendships a little looser than women. I may be wrong, but I think they do. If I've had a friend since childhood and that guy goes really bad and that person is a problem and that person is dragging me down, dust my feet off, I move on. But I believe you ladies have a stronger attachment. You're much better friends. But there is a time when we need to understand that our friendships can break and we need to be very careful. It can be broken up easily by words. Proverbs 16, verse 28 says, "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates who? Close friends." Somebody who likes to spread rumors, someone who likes to talk, gets their jollies out of causing drama in your life and theirs. They need the adrenaline rush, so they cause the drama. They go, did you know? You know, I think I heard them say. Or they make it up completely. And what does that do to your friendship? Separates. How many of you have had something like that happen in your life? Well, and it hurts. You know, in New York, what the sports writers do is they go into the clubhouse of the sports teams and they try and start little fights between the players and the management. Why? Because it makes for great copy. And it messes people's lives up. Actually, we've had guys, you know, drummed out of town, almost tarred and feathered because of the rumor mill. Proverbs 17:9 said, "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates what? Close friends." What's the chance of someone offending you in your lifetime? What's the chance of a friend hurting you in a lifetime? 1,000%. 1,000%. If you're married, what's the chance of the person you're married to offending you in your life? 1,000,000,000%. Marriage is like fighting naked with knives. It's just terrible in that regard. Somebody's gonna get hurt. Pray with me, man. Pray with me. Pray for me. But here's the thing I want you to understand is that you have a choice when your friend hurts you. You can bring it up again and again and again. Or you can forgive and you move on. You say, "Oh, Pastor Dave, they didn't ask forgiveness." Or they didn't ask forgiveness in the right way. Our goal is to have people bow down on their knees and go, "I'm sorry, I'm the greatest jerk in all the world, and I'll never do this again. Please, 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 can I have your forgiveness?" Forgiveness is not something somebody earns. Forgiveness is a gift that you give someone. It's a gift that you get first from God for your sins, and then you give to someone else. It's free. It's free. It costs you something. Sometimes it's your pride. Sometimes it's your feelings. But it costs you something. But it's not something someone can earn. It is only something that you can give. But you don't know what they've done. It doesn't matter what they've done for your sake and for theirs. Forgive. Don't repeat the matter, because if you do, what happens? Sometimes we split up over silly things, don't we? 30 years later, we go, whoa. Why don't you guys talk anymore? I've heard way too many people say, "I don't really remember the reason." And then not only can it be broken by words, it can't easily be repaired by words. A friendship is fragile. It can't be easily repaired by words. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city. And quarreling is like what? The bars of a castle. What happens when I have a problem in a friendship and I say the thing I shouldn't say and I go the place I shouldn't go and I push the buttons I shouldn't push, and then I come back and go, hey, let's make it all right. It's very hard. It's very hard. Friendships are fragile. I should handle them with care. Waqas Ahmed, an internet philosopher, I'm not sure what that is, said, friendship is delicate as a glass. Once broken, it can be fixed, but there will always be cracks. The truth is, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, James 1:19 says. And we must see our words, we must use our words to build up, not tear down. I think that all of us should have a little mantra we live by. When someone comes to share with us some drama, we need to take our hands and move our right hand from our left side to our right like this. Could you do that with me? And then smile and say, excuse me, this is a no drama zone. Let's go together now. Excuse me, this is a no drama zone. And then a friendship with someone can also be a faked relationship. You can have fake friends. No, Ellen, not fantasy friends, okay? Not pretend friends. Fake friends. It's a difference. The one you make up, the other they pretend, all right? I'm just making sure you have it straight. She's mad she didn't win the $10 gift card. Some people want their friendship to be bought. The poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich man has what? Many friends. Some people want their friendship to be bought. They go, hey, what are you going to do for me? Many, or one person, Spike Mulligan, said this. He said, money can't buy you friends, but it can get you a better class of enemy. And then some people want to buy friendship. Some people think that if I do this, and this for you, you owe me, you're my friend. Many seek the favor of a generous man, Proverbs 19:6 says. And everyone is a friend to a man who gives what? Gifts. But see, those aren't real friendships. If somebody is doing something for you to keep you on the line, it's not a real friendship. And if you want someone to do something for you so that you'll be their friend, it's not a real friendship. It's a fake friendship. The band Radiohead, in their book or in their song, Thinking About You, says this. These people aren't your friends. They're paid to kiss your feet. That's not the kind of friends we want. We want real friends. I remember when I was growing up, I had a bunch of friends who I had a major spat with, like the whole neighborhood. And they were threatening to beat me up, which they could have very easily. But I had a Marine. My sister's boyfriend at the time was an ex-Marine. He's now my brother-in-law. And my ex-Marine future brother-in-law said, Dave, why don't we go out and I'll beat them all up for you? I said, Stan, I don't think they're my friends if you make them be my friends. I think they have to want to be my friends. So we didn't beat them up, which was probably good for both of us. So I need to ask myself, am I a friend for hire? I need to have some friends who can do nothing for me. And I need to seek discernment regarding my friends. And then a friendship with someone can be a forgotten relationship. Because friends are to be valued for a lifetime. We should not get rid of friends like we change clothes. We shouldn't change friends like we change clothes. Proverbs 27:10, do not forsake your friend and your father's friend. What? It's generational almost. And do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. But friends are to be valued for a lifetime. And friends are to be valued above life circumstances. Proverbs 19:4 says, wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friend. I have seen this so many times. A young man, a young woman is making, you know, $8.50 an hour. I guess the minimum wage is a little more than that now, working in the mall, and then they get a real job. And suddenly they're making like $25, $26, $27. They're making great money an hour. They're bringing home tons of money. And then what happens? Everybody's their friend. Why? Because when the tab comes, they're buying dinner. That's not real friendship. We ought to love people. We ought to have friends regardless of life circumstances. So be slow in choosing a friend. Be slower in changing a friend, Benjamin Franklin says. The truth is, personal friends and family friends should be valued for life. And then finally, a friendship with someone can be a forever relationship. Friendships don't have to end. You say, Kay, what are you talking about, Dave? Friendships don't have to end. I don't know how well you can see this. This is a good friend of mine, Tom Maddox. Tom passed away at the age of 32. 19, almost 20 years ago. This is his visitor card. He went to another church. He came to visit us a few times. This is his visitor's card from this church. He's such a good friend of mine, I won't throw the visitor card away. I keep it. That's him and his family. It's his information, his honored guest registration card. But if you look on the back, these are his words. This is why I could never throw it away. He said, Dave Watson is my friend. I want to come see him. He will be my friend forever. When he passed from this life to the next, he went to heaven to be with Jesus forever. The way I describe it, he took the early ferry. He took the early ferry to the celestial city. But he's my friend forever because he had a personal relationship with God through Christ. I will be reunited with him in heaven, and so will his family. Proverbs 18:24 reminds us, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Who is the friend that sticks closer than a brother? His name is Jesus Christ. You know, it's crazy. The Apostle Paul is being interviewed and argued with about his faith. And one of the interviews that he has, these two big government leaders are talking. And the one person says to the other, they have this problem with Jesus. The people who are accusing Paul have a problem with Jesus, who they say is dead, and Paul says is alive. Jesus Christ is alive and well. Amen. And wants to have a personal relationship with each of us. You were created to have a relationship with God. Back in the Garden of Eden, God walked in the cool of the day to meet with Adam and Eve. God wants us to have a relationship with him. What's broken that relationship? Our sin. Everyone in this room has sinned. On my best day, I sin. If I try real hard not to sin, I sin. None of us goes a day without falling short of God's standard. God is holy, righteous, just. I am not. That causes a barrier between me and God. How does God get rid of the barrier so I can have a relationship with him? Through what his son, Jesus Christ, did. There is one God and there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And I can have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ invites you and I into a personal relationship with himself. He knows exactly who we are and still desires our friendship. See, we think, I got to clean up my act. I got to get better, 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 and then God will accept me. God says, come as you are. We read in the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, Jesus speaking about how they spoke of him. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by our deeds. Jesus is a friend of sinners. Do we have any sinners in the house? Here's good news. Jesus is a friend of who? Sinners. Exclusively. I don't have to get my act together. In fact, I will never get my act together. When will I be perfect? Not on this earth, my friends. Not on this earth. He laid down his life for us, proving his love and providing a way for us to enter into a friendship with him. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You want to know if Jesus really loves you? He died on the cross for me and you. Wow, that's the test of true friendship, isn't it? You can't be a better friend than giving your life for someone. Jesus gave his life for us. Why? So that we could be forgiven and have a new life and be his. and be his friend. He knocks on the door of our lives. It's up to you and I to respond to his invitation. Listen to the words of Revelation 3:20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." Isn't that a beautiful picture? Is there a better picture of friendship than eating a meal? Jesus said, "I want to sit down and have dinner with you. I want to have an intimate dinner with you. I want to have a fellowship with you. I want to have a relationship with you, as it were, around the table. I'm knocking at the door." It's your responsibility and mine to open the door. This is a famous picture of Christ knocking at the door based on Revelation 3:20. Notice that on this side of the door, there's no door handle. Jesus doesn't whip open the door and go, "Hey, yo, I'm here." Jesus said, "I'm at the door knocking. It's up to you, it's up to me to open the door and invite him into our life." Say, "I need you. I need you. Come, change me. Be my Lord and Savior." Jay and the worship team are going to come and they're going to play a song in just a moment. But we may ask ourselves, how can I answer the door? How can I invite Christ into my life? I would suggest that, though it's not a perfect way, is to simply open up the door through a prayer. Now, the prayer is not perfect, but the prayer opens the door. The prayer doesn't save you or give you a new life, but if it expresses the desires of your heart, it is a way to open the door. I have the prayer in the little brochure that we gave you, but perhaps if everyone could just bow your head and close your eyes, perhaps you know today that you want, you need, you desire to have Christ as your Savior. Maybe at this moment, you want to start a friendship with him, but you understand that the problem is you're a sinner and you need the forgiveness of your sins. How do you get that? Christ paid for it. You need to invite him into your life, and then it's applied to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, perhaps you would pray this prayer from your heart to God. It only matters if you talk to him. And you don't need to pray out loud, but pray it in your heart. Say something like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know you know everything. I know you know everything about me. You know all my secrets and all my sins, all my failures. And you still love me. I know I don't deserve a friendship relationship with you and a place in heaven with you forever. I also know that my sins put a barrier between me and you. I know."
God in Our City is an extension of the ministry of Pastor Dave Watson and Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information about Calvary Chapel, please visit their website at calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Or call the church office at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. To contact Pastor Dave, please email him at nycshepherd@gmail.com. That's nycshepherd@gmail.com. Pastor Dave would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check out his blog at nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com. To receive a free copy of today's message, please call 718-720-5394. That's 718-720-5394. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tune in next week at this same time for another edition of God in Our City.